every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Al Toria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
You are listening to the very best of community radio, presenting the gospel at 88.1. This is KAYT, Gina, Alexandria, Louisiana.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Has done great things for me. Hallelujah. That's why I'll bless the Lord. If he's not done anything for you, you don't have to bless him this morning. If you don't feel like blessing him, you sitting there looking all twisted in the face because he ain't bless you, sit there. But bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Come on, give him more praise today. Come on, come on, come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We serve a wonderful God. How many of you know we serve a wonderful and awesome God? I'm not talking about what he is to me. I'm talking about what he is to you. I love you. I love you. This is to God. I love you, Lord, today. Oh, because it's personal. Nobody can praise him and thank him for you, but you. Special way, that's why I lift you up, magnify, oh, your name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. I love you, I love you, I love you, I love you. I love you. Come on, this is to God. You're talking to him. Lord, I love you, Lord. Oh, because you care. Like nobody else ever did. Such a special way. Lord, I magnify your holy name. That's why my heart is filled with praise. My heart, my mind, my soul, it all belongs to you. Come on, lift it up. My heart, Lord, my mind, Lord, my soul. Price for me. When did he do it? When back on Calvary. That's why, Lord, I lift you up and I magnify your name, your holy name. That's why.
Nothing but your praise, nothing but your praise, my heart. Just take a minute right where you are in your own personal space. You can close your eyes and block out everything and everybody that might hinder you from focusing on God. And just love on the Lord in the spirit. Just say some things to the Lord that you know he wants to hear from you. John says, I love him because he first loved me. There are some things God's done for you he may not have done for the person on the side of you, in front of you, or behind you. There are some doors God's opened for you, some favor God's shown to you, some mercy he's bestowed upon you. God has kept some enemies who had you on their hit list from completing that list. There's so many things you can say to the Lord, so many ways God's been good to you. He just wants to hear them from you. Yes, he knows you love him, but he wants to hear you tell him you love him. He wants you not to be ashamed in this place to lift up holy hands, to bow down on your knees, to share and to show whichever way the Spirit of the Lord leads you to tell God you love him. He loves you. Jesus loves you. The Holy Ghost loves you. It ought not be any shame to love the Trinity. Ought not be any shame to show your love to him. He openly showed his love for you out on Calvary's cross. It oughtn't be a problem in his house, in his holy sanctuary, for you to be unashamed to show him your love. Come on, this is personal. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you. You see, when you humble yourself before the Lord, pride has got to move out of the way. You say to the Lord, Lord, you're bigger than all of my pride. My demonstration of your love is bigger than my pride. You say to God, I'm not ashamed. You were not ashamed to give your best in your son. And him who gave his life was not ashamed. And so right now, all over this place, over in the overflow, we just love you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, you're so worthy and so wonderful. Thank you, Lord. Of praise, if you will, give him a hand of praise. Gracious God, our Father, now as we come to hear your word, we pray that the Holy Spirit will walk through the text and teach us what he'll have us to know. Bless every hearer's heart and then empower them with spiritual enlightenment and power to practice these principles, reaping the profit and giving you the praise. We ask it in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. Turn your Bibles, if you will, to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12. Says in 1 Timothy chapter 4 verse 12, let no man
despise thy youth. But be thou an example of the believers. Now this is how. In word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. This is our youth day and our time of challenging and speaking to the youth. Though it's a word for everyone, it focuses on youth here. This is Paul's writing to young Timothy and sharing some spiritual insight and truths with him that's applicable to all believers, because literally what he was saying to him was, set the example.
All right.
And that's what we want to challenge our young folk to do today. Set the example. Young folk, turn to one another and say to them, the Bible says that as believers, we ought to set the example. Now, I heard the youth say, now this is for everybody. I want all of us to recognize that God has given us a mandate to set the example as believers. Now again, this is a ready word, a relevant word, a word that I believe will be a blessing to the body of Christ, especially if we adhere to what Paul has said to the believers. One of the things that we must recognize is it starts off by saying, because it is a command, and it's saying to the young and the young at heart, let no man or no one, no human, no person, no potentate, no power, let no one despise thy youth. Now this is a powerful saying, because here you have an older man encouraging the younger folk, and he's saying to them and to Timothy, and more especially, don't let anybody despise your youth. Why was he talking about that? And I experientially understand it because I recognize whenever you try to do anything for the Lord, and especially if you are young, you will discover that folk will do more discouraging you than encouraging you. I was called to preach at 13, preached my first sermon at 14. I heard more folks say, how do you know what you're preaching? You're so young, you haven't even begun to live. What you know about the Bible? Are you sure God called you to preach? On and on and on and on. Instead of encouraging, they were discouraging. And the only thing that encouraged me was the fact that I knew that God had called me. And the evidence was already in the practice. And one of the things that you got to recognize, my brothers and sisters, just as the world recognizes that it doesn't take an adult to understand and figure out some things, they recognize that it's better to catch our young people at a young age and do the same principle as the Bible teaches, training them up. Listen, if you won't train up your children, the world will.
That's right.
Your neighbors will train them up. May not be like you want. The corner dope heads and drug addicts and alcoholics and perversions and perverted folk, you know, they'll train them up. You don't want to train them up? The law will train them up. And you don't want to train them up? Other folk will train them up. You've got places and institutions designed to train them, but it may not be in the way you want them to go. That's your responsibility, parents. That's our responsibility as a church with the children and the youth of our ministry, to train them up. There are some trainings they may not get at home, but they ought to get it here at the church.
That's right.
There are some trainings they may not get in school, but they ought to be able to get it among believers, because Paul is speaking to the believers here. Notice what this word says again. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of believers. Mm-hmm. Believers. It's amazing how, again, you know, and many ministries don't take the time out, don't dedicate a Sunday for the youth to be able to spotlight their gifts and talents or highlight the accomplishments that they made in other arenas. Because here's the true worth of your spiritual integrity and growth. What you learn out here, you practice out there.
Yes, sir. All right.
And how will we know that any of this is taking root unless we hear about it and get a report? And every month, we make a report on the young people in our ministry and what God is doing to them and through them and with them and for them and because of them. And when they recognize that God is getting the glory and they are getting the goods, they begin to desire to want to please God and to elevate and to reach new heights in God and to be the blessing God has called us to be. They desire that. If all they get to see is the brother out on the street bling blinging, why she can't see a sister in the church, a brother in the church with the blessings of the Lord?
That's right.
Why I contend all the time, if our Father is rich in houses and land, if all of the gold and the silver is His, if everything that is good and perfect comes from Him, if we are His children, the sheep of His pasture, if we are all that God says we are, shouldn't we reflect it in our life and lifestyle? There is nothing, I want to throw this out to you so you'll get it if you've never gotten it before. There is nothing holy about being poor.
That's right.
Broke. And destitute. See, you hold it to some folk. If you're poor and broke and you're destitute, well, you can be. It's your choice. But that's not what God teaches in His Word. Jesus became poor so that we might become rich. And lest you fool yourself and think it's only in spiritual things, read the entire Word of God. You're going to see that it encompasses material and financial and every other arena of life, the blessings multiplied in your life. I keep contending the people that have an issue with prosperity preaching, as it is called, are the people who aren't prospering. You don't have successful people, blessed people, talking down other people who are blessed and successful. That comes from ignorance. Not knowing what God says about it. That comes from antiquated ideology and teachings we had before we knew what God had to say about it.
That's right.
Let me just do a little quick check right here, and I'll just finish this part. How many of you really want to be broken and busted and ain't got nothing so you can praise and worship God more sincerely? Well, don't be sitting here looking at me crazy then. We ought to teach our children. God wants the best from us. God gives the best to us. We expect the best from them. Look at what Paul was saying to young Timothy. He says, let no man despise thy youth. When they try to put you in check about serving God and living for the Lord at this young age, you let them understand it was the Lord who saved your soul. It was the Lord who gave His life for you. It was the Lord who put you in position so that you can live for Him. It was not man. And so you let them know there ain't no shame in your lifting up His holy name. There is no shame in you praising Him and giving God glory. You got more sense than they ever knew you had when you understand who it is you praise and glorify.
Right, man.
This is the word. Look at him. He says, and I'm going to walk through the text and break out the six things and deal with them just momentarily. But the advice that he gives to young Timothy as a young pastor is so important for all believers, especially young believers. And young believers, I want you to hear this because God is challenging you today. This is the first thing that he deals with. He says, in word. That's conversation, that's one. But he says, be an example. Set the stage. Be the example in conversation. The interesting thing about that is good speech is becoming a believer. Mm-hmm. Crude and vulgar conversation and communication corrupts good manners. See, because what people don't understand is the stuff you start speaking out of your mouth, your actions begin to align themselves with that kind of talk.
Yes, man.
You start talking dirty before you start acting dirty.
All right.
And the more you talk dirty, the more you act dirty. And so what you've got to realize is you got to catch it at the beginning. You got to nip it in the bud. You've got to recognize it from the small things, because the small things lead into larger things. And you got to catch yourself when you say the four-letter words that may not be, that, well, it's in the Bible. Yeah, but it ain't like that. All right? So you're taking it out of context. So you need to take that and you need to straighten that up, because you start from there and it becomes harder four-letter words. And then you have a whole dictionary of vulgarity that you can put. I mean, you can sit there and spit it out like a sailor. And ain't never been to sea.
All right.
You got more knowledge of carnal words and all of that irreverent kind of speaking and can't even quote two good scriptures. But you're a believer. So young folk, it says, be careful, because here's what you need to know. If you're hanging out with folk that's talking bad, you need to say, wait. Can you not use those words? Is it necessary for you to use that to speak to me? And if they say, you know, well, look, that's just meaning. You don't like it? No, I do not like it. This conversation is over.
Yes, sir.
You have to have that kind of respect for yourself. Because what you don't understand is if you don't have that kind of respect for yourself, they're not going to have that kind of respect
that's right.
For you. I was a boy in school. And, you know, the boys were boys. They were, you know, trying to impress, talking all this stuff. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing, because when I would come up anywhere in conversation, they'd be going on, they'd be like thugging and leaning on, kind of, come, hey, man, shut up, here come a little rev.
Yeah.
And if a brother started telling me, hey, man, don't talk like that in front of little rev.
That's right.
They're ready to fight for you, because you got respect for yourself and you don't handle yourself any kind of way, and they don't, and they won't allow others to if they're going to be anywhere in your company.
That's right.
But you know, again, communication, if it is done correctly, can convert those over who have vulgar conversations and minds, etc., by showing them the way. Remember, it all starts off, every one of these words, with an example. Again, look at what it says. But be thou an example of believers in word. That's the first one. But look at what the second one. It says, in what? In conversations. Now, you would think conversations is just what we got through talking about words, but it is so much more. Because when you understand it, it literally means, it's translated as conversation means entire conduct.
Yes, sir.
So it doesn't just mean what comes out of your mouth, it means your actions and your deeds. And so it's important to understand that the Christian must be more than talk. They must have a harmonized walk.
Yes, sir.
So when it talks about conversation, it means you ought to walk like you talk and you ought to talk like you walk. It means there ought to be a cohesiveness in your whole personality. That's why when you have that kind of good example before people, people can tell when something that is said about you isn't like you, because your walk and your talk harmonizes together. And they say, yeah, but that ain't that. I know her. That don't sound like her. I've been around her. I've seen a man, but that's not their kind of, they don't talk like that. Because you have a walk and a talk that harmonizes. Not only does it talk about you doing this in word or in conversation, but the next thing is in love. What one loves and does, he says. And so you need to be an example in this word, charity, translated love. God wants you young people to be the first ones to be the example of love. You know, how many of you heard the saying, children can be cruel? You know why they say that? Because children are many times more real than adults are. And they don't sugarcoat it, they don't camouflage it, they don't water it down. They just tell it like it is. That was a story told, a very true story. Little baby, she must have been about 2, 3, somewhere around there. She was learning her colors. And her daddy picked up in his arms. And he was, you know, going over some of the things that she had learned. And he started off with, what's this? And he pointed to his nose. And she said, nose. And what's this? And she said, mouth. And, you know, what's this? And she pointed off and said, this. And then he pulled up some colors. And he picked up this one. And he said, what's this? She said, red. And when she went on, he, you know, drawing the colors, and he was, good, baby, good, good. And then he pointed to, he said, what's this? He said, yellow. Somebody didn't get that. Well, now, I'm telling you, you know, you pick up a baby, baby, like, I mean, that dragon get the flow in that baby like, You know, some of us were camouflaged. We be in your face and we stop breathing. And we catch a breath. Yeah, well. You know, we give this up here. You want a man? I want, no, I don't want, no, you need a man. We won't say that, but then we'll get back to man. Brother so-and-so, sister so-and-so, breath was hot. Now, wouldn't it be better if we just said, hey, look. Because, you know, I mean, that happens to all, to the best of us. I don't care how pretty and white and pearly your teeth are. It happens to the best of us. So, I mean, it's, you know, it's just good to be honest. But children will just say anything. You know, I mean, and so sometimes you've got to set the example of love. Love doesn't mean not telling the truth. It means telling it in a way that it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
Or offend them. Mm-hmm. And there's a way that you can say, you've heard it before. You can say anything. It's just how you say it.
Yeah.
And people will receive it and understand it if it's done in a spirit of love. So God wants us to be the example. You may be the first one in your class, among your peers. You may be the first one in your family, on the street, to show love in a way that God gets the glory, and you and those to whom you demonstrate that love receive the good. When you look at this word again, and it goes on, the fourth way says, again, this is consecration, because it says in spirit. And this word in spirit is translated consecration. And it has to do with zeal and devotion and dedication. And so when you as a believer are operating in the things of God, especially outside of the church, there ought to be some consecration in your life that shows a zeal for God, a dedication to God. You recognize and you operate in this zeal so that people will know that you belong to God. There ought to be a devotion so strong to God that it far outweighs the pulls and the pressures of peers. It ought to be so committed and concreted underneath the skin that you will not be shaken and moved by the actions of others, but because you are rooted in the Lord and you realize and recognize that it's attack from the enemy trying to bring you out of your place, you are able to deal with that and become a witness for the Lord and maybe even possibly change a life in the process. Again, every one of these words, you are to be an example in each one of them.
Yes.
Consecrated lives are lives where they are dedicated and devoted to God, where God gets the glory, because if God needs a vessel, you're saying, God, here am I. If you need a mouthpiece, you're saying, God, here is my mouth. You're on your job. God needs someone to speak up and represent him. And all of these folk on the job talking about this, that, and the other, and God said, I just need somebody to speak for me. I need a word right here. It would be a good time for somebody to know you're saved and hear your testimony, or to hear what God is speaking through you to them. What is the purpose of you coming in here, becoming equipped, and then get out in the place where God wants you to share it, and then you shut up and don't say what he wants you to say? Or do what he wants you to do? What kind of example are you if the world is doing all of this stuff and you're afraid to show your consecrated life before God? But rather, many times we will hide our life. And maybe if we don't hide it, we put a cover over it.
Okay.
Talking about, we're just trying to, you know, shade covers. It's really not designed to hide the light per se, but to tone it down and direct its illumination.
Yes.
That's another word for a cover up.
Mm-hmm.
And we hide behind that because, you know, we don't want to get involved.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? Did the Lord Jesus not get involved when the enemy had already had you in the grips of his clutches already had you ready for hell and damnation. You needed to be redeemed. What if Jesus would have said, Lord, I'm too holy. I don't want to get involved in that. Because, I mean, I'm going to have to get myself, you know, involved in this. And so that means I'm going to have to walk the way I walk. And I just don't want to walk that way before them. But that's why the